Again, good morning. We're glad that you're here on this first weekend of fall break. I kept calling it spring break, but it's fall break. Isn't it a beautiful day that God has given us? Psalmist said, this is a day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. I don't know how you can't but rejoice when you walk out and see that. Hey, we're glad that you are here today. We are continuing in our message series, In Christ Alone, looking at the New Testament book of Galatians, a book that the Apostle Paul wrote shortly after he had visited and planted churches in Galatia. It had only been about a year or two, and Paul began to get word that there was some heresy that was going on in the church, that there was a group of folks called Judaizers who were attempting to literally pollute, as Paul calls it, the gospel. In other words, they were attempting to change the gospel, and a changed gospel is no gospel at all. Because the gospel is simple. It's that we are made right with God through faith in Christ alone, period. We call that grace. But what these Judaizers were attempting to do was to convince the people in Galatia that grace wasn't sufficient, that grace wasn't enough, that grace plus the law or grace plus works was the equation to have a right relationship with God. Now, that message was absolutely contrary to what the Apostle Paul had preached and taught and planted the churches based on. The sole message of the gospel is that we are made right by faith through grace in Christ. We are made right with God simply by an act of grace and our placing our faith and hope and trust in Jesus. And it's not anything that we do. We don't work our way into a relationship with God. There's nothing that we can do that can make God love us any more or any less than he already does. Because he is already crazy about us. Because, again, the scriptures are clear. It tells us that God's very essence, his nature, is love. And it's his desire to share that love with us so that we might both receive and experience that love, and that we might share that love with the world around us. Because there are 7 billion people on the face of the planet today, and over 2 billion of those people have never heard the name of Jesus. And we believe that Jesus is the answer to everything that is wrong in our world. And so we've got to be a people who speak against and counter to heresies that might come up in the church. Because unfortunately, the things that were happening in Paul's day are the things that continue to happen today. And so what Paul does in this letter is he is addressing this heresy that faith plus works is the way to have a relationship with God, reinforcing over and over and over again, it is not by works, it is not any of those things that we are made right with God, it is simply by grace through faith in Christ alone. So we've been working our way through this, and we're up to chapter 2. We're going to look today at beginning in verse 11, we're going to look at verses 11 through 14. And let me kind of set the stage of what's going on here. Paul is going to address in a very visible way an issue that was a problem in his day, and I believe it's a problem in our day as well. And so as we read the text, you're going to see a word come up twice. If a word comes up once, it's important. If it comes up twice, it's very important. And if it comes up really close in sentences in the structure of the biblical text, it means it's very important. And the word that we're going to look at today is hypocrisy. And we're going to look and see what hypocrisy does to the gospel. What does hypocrisy do to our witness of trying to share our faith with others? See, because unfortunately in the church, things are really different. You might have heard me say this before, that, you know, the church is different and it should be different. And so the problem is when the world sees Christians behaving badly, when they see us who proclaim faith in Christ alone, when they see us behaving badly, then it not only gives them a bad taste for the church, but it actually oftentimes pushes people completely away from the church. And the church is supposed to be the bride of Christ. We are supposed to be the temple of the Holy Spirit. We are supposed to be the hands and feet of Christ. And so if the world is pushing away from the church because of our witness, because of maybe our hypocrisy, we've got to address that. Now the reality is we are all hypocrites. But the difference for us, hopefully in the church, is that we are people who have hypocrisy in our lives, but we are allowing the Holy Spirit of God to transform and to change that so that that hypocrisy continues to get less and less and less and less in our lives. What John Wesley, the founder of our tradition, would say is that we are moving on towards a perfect kind of love. A love that is so manifested in the world that, that these worldly characteristics, these attributes that we have in our lives, like hypocrisy, become less and less and less. So that our witness for Christ gets greater and greater and greater. So that eventually the world sees Christ in us. And so what Paul's going to address here is that he sees that Peter, bless his heart, I love Peter. Peter is the guy who so often, like, he just went off half-cocked. Sometimes he was the guy who's like, yeah, I'm all in, I'm all in. But then when the rubber meets the road, he was the guy who's like, ah, I just don't know if I could do that. He was the guy who often talked before he thought, and that sometimes got him into trouble. And so where we are at this point in the story is that Peter needs to be addressed because he is being hypocritical in his life. And we're going to see what that looks like, and then we're going to talk a little bit more today about what hypocrisy does and how it affects our witness and maybe what we should be doing about that. So let's go ahead and look at Galatians 2, verses 11 through 14, and then let's just break it down a little bit and see what this text might have to say for us as the people of God seeking to really be the authentic, changed people of God. So Galatians 2, verses 11 through 14. But when Peter came to Antioch, I had to oppose him to his face, for what he did was very wrong. When he first arrived, he ate with the Gentile believers who were not circumcised. But afterward, when some friends of James came, Peter wouldn't eat with the Gentiles anymore. He was afraid of criticism from these people who insisted on the necessity of circumcision. Those were the Judaizers that I told you about a few moments ago. As a result, this is the power of our witness. As a result, other Jewish believers followed Peter's hypocrisy, and even Barnabas was led astray by their hypocrisy. When I saw that they were not following the truth of the gospel message, I said to Peter in front of all the others, since you, a Jew by birth, have discarded the Jewish laws and are living like a Gentile, why are you now trying to make these Gentiles follow the Jewish traditions? So here's what Peter's done. So when Peter is there, he's starting to have dinner with the Gentiles. He's eating with them, eating their food, things that originally in the Jewish tradition had been condemned. But in a vision that he had seen where Jesus came to him, he said, actually, everything is clean now. That we don't have to keep these old rules and restrictions about what was clean and unclean, what they could eat and what they couldn't eat. That actually it got barreled down to just kind of a couple things regarding the food laws. And that was that you weren't supposed to eat any food that was sacrificed to any other gods. And you were not supposed to eat any meat with the blood already in it. That was supposed to be drained. And that went back to a tradition understanding that the life is in the blood. And it was very superstitious. And so what we see is at this point in the story, Peter should be able to eat with the Gentiles and come under no criticism and not have any fear that he was going to be criticized or condemned for doing that. Because Peter is attempting to reach the Jewish people and the Gentiles with the gospel. And so he's crossing some of those barriers that used to be there that he was eating with the Gentiles until friends of James showed up. Then all of a sudden, he's like, no, not me. I am not eating with those people. And Paul is going to call him out on this. Because again, what's going on? He's being hypocritical. In one place of his life, it was okay. But in another place of his life, he said it wasn't okay. He was being hypocritical. He wasn't being authentic. And so what does it mean to be hypocritical? Couple things. It means intentional and even unintentional contradiction of belief and practice. Fake religious confessions. refers to those who live in a manner in complete contrast to their religious persuasion. Now, interestingly enough, in the New Testament, the idea of hypocrisy is actually like loaded up a little bit heavier. That it's actually beyond just a simple, your words don't agree with your witness. But when we see hypocrisy in the New Testament, we see this idea of intentionality that gets called out. And so in the New Testament, the term carries with it a sense of wickedness, opposition to God and his truth, and even heresy. So it's not just acting, but it is deceiving through pretense. And so Paul is calling out Peter in this, saying, man, it's not just that you are like saying one thing and doing another, but this seems very intentional. This is moving towards heresy and wickedness. And so he calls him out literally in front of everybody. Now, we might look at that and say, oh, he should have pulled him aside and said, hey, Peter, I want to talk to you about this because what you're doing is not a good idea. But Paul recognizes the magnitude of this and the magnitude of the influence that Peter was having in the community, as well as the problem of the Judaizers attempting to tell the people, hey, you still have to follow the Jewish laws. You need to be circumcised. You need to keep all the laws. You need to do all this stuff, plus grace, and then you have this great relationship with God. So Paul's got to call this out in front of everybody and says, no, no, we are made right with God by grace through faith in Christ alone, period. But we have to be a people that what we say and what we do has to be in sync. Again, because what do we know about that in our lives? That the world is looking at us. The unbelieving world, what they find so unbelievable, are followers of Jesus who say one thing and do another. Now, the reality is we are all guilty of that to some degree. But if we have faith in Christ, that should be getting less and less and less, so that we are more and more reflecting the very image of Christ to the world around us. Now, Jesus had a lot to say about hypocrisy in the Gospels. He addressed it over and over and over. And so again, when we think about the many references that we see to hypocrisy, it's mentioned more than 17 times just in the Gospels. That should tell us that this is a critical issue. That this is something that could very much not only just compromise our witness, but it could affect the reception of the gospel in itself. And so we see Jesus looking at the idea of hypocrisy, and again in the Gospels, he condemns it in all forms. He condemns it in giving. We see in Matthew 6:2 that it says, when you give to someone in need, don't do as the hypocrites do, blowing trumpets in the synagogue and streets to call attention to their acts of charity. I tell you the truth, they have received all the reward that they will ever get. And so the idea is that when we give, we should just give and not expect accolades or attention with that. Jesus addresses hypocrisy in prayer. In 6:5, it says, when you pray, don't be like the hypocrites who love to pray publicly on street corners and in the synagogues where everyone can see them. I tell you the truth, that is all the reward they will ever get. What's that reward? The acclaim of maybe just a few people. And so Jesus condemns this idea of us being in public saying, oh God, I'm praying and I want everybody to see it. Now, of course, we would never say that. But are we attempting to be in prayer, or are we attempting to have people see how religious we might be? We see that Jesus addresses this idea of fasting. And when you fast, don't make it obvious as the hypocrites do, for they try to look miserable and disheveled to people so people will admire them for their fasting. I tell you the truth, this is the only reward they will get. Seeing a theme emerge here? Jesus addresses the idea of hypocrisy in worship. In Matthew 15:7-8, he says, you hypocrites, Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you. For he wrote, these people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. See, what this demands for us is an understanding that worship is not just what happens here on a Sunday morning. That everything that we do, is actually an act of worship. How we live is worship. Jesus also addresses this idea of leadership. In Luke 13, 15, it says, but the Lord replied, you hypocrites, each of you works on the Sabbath day. Don't you untie your ox or your donkey from its stall on the Sabbath and lead it out for water? Again, Jesus is addressing these people that he is referring it to as hypocrites, the religious leaders who are saying one thing and doing another. And he's saying, we have to be consistent. In other words, how we live out our faith really matters. How we live out our faith in the context of our world matters because people are looking at us. And they're wanting to know if the words that we say and the life that we live, is that consistent? Are they in sync with one another? Do our words and our witness, do they match? Timothy Keller in his book Galatians for You says, Christian living is a continual realignment process. In other words, we have to cooperate with the Holy Spirit to let God continue to change us from the inside out so that we might continually, again, reflect the image of Christ to this broken and hurting world that so desperately needs to know Jesus. And so we should be living out that which we profess. And when there's a discontinuity between what we say and what we do, it draws attention to us, but not in a good way. The world asks the question, so you're a believer. So you go to church? So, like, you say you're a Christian? You say that, but then I see you do this, and this, and this, and this, and this, and this, and this. And eventually they say, so why do I need to do that? How we live out our faith really matters because hypocrisy has a profound impact on the gospel message. And it's not a good one. So let's break down these verses a little bit, and let's just see some of the ways that as followers of Jesus, what hypocrisy does in our lives. Number one, hypocrisy affects our integrity. In other words, it affects our character, who we are at the core, and it creates a disconnect when we say one thing and when we do another. In verse 11, it says, but when Peter came to Antioch, I had to oppose him face to his face, for what he did was very wrong. In other words, this was a character issue for Peter. And so Paul had to call it out and say, no. Like, who are you at the core? You professed faith in Jesus, and you believe this faith is available to all people everywhere. So why are you acting different with the Gentiles than you were with the Jewish believers? Now, Paul will tell us in places of his writings, he said, to the Jew I become a Jew, to the Gentile a Gentile, I become all things to all people for the sake of the gospel. But what Peter's doing here is not just attempting to be contextual, he's attempting, and what he's actually doing is being incongruent with his faith. Because he said one thing and now he's changing, being like, ah, he was afraid of criticism. So when the friends of James comes, he's like, I'm not going to do that anymore. See, integrity matters. Character matters. Bill Hybels said that our character is who we are when no one's looking. So our character isn't just that outward invisible thing, but it's actually who are we really at our core. And when our integrity is compromised, and aren't we seeing that played out in the media in a lot of ways right now? When integrity is compromised, does that draw people to the gospel or does it push them away? I propose to you that it not just pushes them, it shoves them away. Number two, we see that as followers of Jesus, hypocrisy affects our credibility. It affects whether or not people will listen to us and believe what we have to say. In verse 12, it says, when he first arrived, he ate with the Gentile believers who were not circumcised. But afterward, when some friends of James came, Peter wouldn't eat with the Gentiles anymore. Can you imagine what the Gentiles might be thinking? So, Peter, like, you ate with me last week. I'm not good enough now. Like, I'm too low and you can't eat with me now. Do you think that affected Peter's witness to the Gentiles? See, because the world needs a credible message. The world needs a credible lifestyle out of us. The world needs to see words and witness that are congruent with one another, that are connected, that are the same. And that's hard, isn't it? Because, I mean, what does Scripture say? We've all sinned. We all fall short of God's standard. But we can't allow that to be an excuse. Because if we live in excuses, it will actually push people away from the gospel. And so, as followers of Jesus, we have to recognize that hypocrisy affects our integrity, our credibility. And number three, hypocrisy affects our authenticity. See, I'm convinced that the question that people want to know from us is this real for you? Like, do you really believe this? This stuff that you say, this church that you go to, this God that you worship, like, is it real? Like, at your core, are you authentic? Are you transparent? Is that really who you are? See, Peter was afraid, right? Fear is a powerful thing, isn't it? Because it says in 12 that he was afraid of criticism from these people who insisted on the necessity of circumcision. In other words, insisted on the necessity of keeping the law, as if that was going to help them have a better relationship with God. But the reality is, fearing people is a dangerous trap, as Proverbs tells us. We have to be authentic to this God that we worship. And I think, unfortunately, we care too much about what other people think. We care too much about what other people are going to say. Now, hear me. That is not a license for us to be jerks. But we've got to be a people who stand authentically for the gospel. That when we profess and proclaim the name of Jesus, we are doing that from a place and a position and a posture that truly represents the faith that we have. That more and more and more, our words and our witness are coming more and more in sync with one another till ultimately they're exactly the same. Hypocrisy, as followers of Jesus, it also affects our influence. It affects the people who follow us. It affects the people who like us on Facebook. It affects the people who share us on Twitter. It affects the people that we work with. It affects anybody that we come into contact with that we have any form of influence with. In verse 13, it says, as a result, other Jewish believers followed Peter's hypocrisy. And even Barnabas was led astray by their hypocrisy. Okay, did you hear that? Because that should make all of us a little worrisome. Because what that is saying is that the people that we have influence with, who are watching us, who are looking at us, we are either going to draw them closer to Jesus, or we have the possibility of drawing them away from Jesus. Because these others were looking at Peter. They're like, Peter, man, we're new at this, so we got to be like, we're striving to be more like you, ultimately, to be like Jesus, but we need these earthly examples, right? It's like, so we're doing this. But Peter was actually leading them astray. He was leading them into heresy. He was leading them away from the one true gospel. And when we are led away from the one true gospel, then there is no gospel. And so Peter is the one who is affecting the people around him. It says even Barnabas was led astray by their hypocrisy. It's been said that we know we have influence if we turn around and anybody's following us. We are all influencers in this room. Every single one of us. Youth, you guys are influencers in your school, on your teams, in your organizations. Parents, adults, y'all, we are influencers in the people that we work with, in our social interactions, in our friendships, in our family. We are all influencers. And influence, Andy Stanley said this one year, he said, influence is stewardship, and we will be held accountable. In other words, the influence that we have on others is a stewardship issue. It's something that we are supposed to caretake from God. And we will be held accountable for that, of how we are influencing others. Are we drawing them to Jesus, or are we pushing them away from our faith? So hypocrisy, it affects our integrity, our credibility, our authenticity, our influence. Hypocrisy, number five, affects our authority. In other words, it affects, are they going to buy into what we have to say? Are we believable? Do they believe that it's true because of our witness, of our lifestyle? In verse 14, it says, when I saw that they were not following the truth of the gospel message, I said to Peter in front of all the others, since you, a Jew by birth, have discarded the Jewish laws and are living like a Gentile, why are you now trying to make these Gentiles follow the Jewish traditions? In other words, what Paul is doing is calling him out, saying, you have authority with these people. We have given you the authority to share the gospel, to make this faith come alive in the lives of these folks. And you are leading them astray. And so he's calling Peter out. He is calling out those who are following Peter. He's calling out Barnabas. He is calling them all out collectively, in essence saying, you gotta stop. Because your impact that you're making right now is leading people away from Jesus. That they're buying into this. There are people who are believing you that to be made right with God, it's Jesus or grace plus works, and that is not the gospel. We do good things out of the relationship that we have with God. We don't do things to get a good relationship with God, because we are made right with God by grace through faith in Christ alone. Now, I have said that over and over and over again, because you know what? The Apostle Paul says that over and over and over and over again. And it's the message for our generation as well. And then number six, I think ultimately, hypocrisy affects the gospel's receptivity. Who will listen? And what will they do with what they have heard? It's a matter of life or death, because we cannot be made right with God by works of the law. We will never work hard enough. We'll never be good enough. We will never achieve it. The only way that we are made right with God is by grace, through faith in Jesus. And so, if we live in any way or we do anything that compromises the essence of the gospel, it quite literally compromises the eternal trajectory of the people around us. And so we have to be a people who our words and our witness are in sync, because the gospel's receptivity is at stake. And who knows who the people are in our circles that God has specifically said, I'm putting this person in your path and you are to share your faith with them. I am orchestrating things so you will be in this relationship with this person or these people so they might come to know me. I am working things out without interfering with the free will of anybody, but I am strategically placing you for such a time as this, to make a difference in the lives of these people. And when we share anything other than the gospel, and only the gospel, then the receptivity of the gospel is at stake. And the eternal trajectory of others is at stake as well. So here's ultimately the message I believe that Paul is giving Peter, is that we should be the same person, privately, publicly, and personally. Isn't it easier to be the same person privately, publicly, personally? You know, this hits home for me because there have been big seasons in my life where the people that I interacted with in my different circles were like way super different. And I hoped to God that they would never meet. Because I was one way with one group of people, I was another way with another group of people, I was another way with another group of people, and probably if all those people got together, they'd be like, that's not George. Who are you talking about? And that's hard to do. See, what we get from Paul is that being the same person privately, publicly, and personally is actually the easy way to live. And it's the easier way to get our words and our witness in sync so that we might share the gospel, the good news, that our words and our witness would be in sync so that the world would come to know this Jesus that we profess has changed our life, is changing our life, and yet will continue to change our life. It's good news because we are made right and we are being made right by grace through faith in Christ alone.